pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird, Jeff Bell.
Punch it.
Bop it.
I don't know. Just trying something new.
Okay, fair.
Twist it. I don't know.
Pull it.
Oh, well, now it's a date? What? I don't.
That's what she said.
Look, I'll tell you right here at the top of the show. I believe in complete candor. I may have taken what I thought was a low dose gummy this morning because I had a headache.
It's not a solo dose.
It does not feel that way, no. And I read the package, and it is, but I'm high as a kite. So I'm running off of muscle memory.
Those stuff just right. Ooh, they're good at that. You get a good blend, man.
I guess so.
You know, some days it doesn't matter what you're taking. It's some days you're lightweight, some days you're not. You
Today
know?
I am lightweight. I guarantee it. So anyway, I'm running off muscle memory today, so I may be a beat or two slow. But I swear to God, you know, with determination and a stick, we're going to get through this together.
All right. I'll carry the stick.
I love it.
Joss has to have the determination.
Good luck. I don't know how determined I am today, but we'll try it. We'll try it. Oh my gosh.
Anybody have anything to report this week?
Anybody see the size of that chicken? You got to be old to know that reference.
Yep, that was good.
I am not old. I'm not old. Nothing big to report. I did get to go see The Nutcracker by Ballet West this weekend. That was delightful. If you're a Nutcracker fan, go see it. It's fun.
I can't ever see it again.
Why?
I just hate it. I don't know.
You do?
I do. Okay. I have hated it since the first time a parent dragged me to see it. I don't know why, but it's garbage.
You know what? That is absolutely your opinion, and you are entitled to it, sir. So don't go see The Nutcracker.
But the music's pretty.
You won't like it. The music is very pretty.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. So, but no, nothing. It's been a time period, and here we are.
My only issue with The Nutcracker is the show within the show. It just goes on a little too long.
Yep.
That is true. That is true. I will second that.
Where all the different dancers got to come out. And I'm like, some of them are, I look forward to them. Like, I want the Russian dancers. I want the Russian dancers. You know, it's like, I'm sitting there almost chanting it as I'm watching, going through all the different ballets. I'm like, I want the Russian dancers. I want the Russian dancers. And if they short me on the Russian dancers, I get pissed. Cause that's my favorite one in that Sugar Plum Fairy.
It's true.
You know, floor show they do. But yeah. Apart from that.
I mean, I've never thought of it that way, but yeah, you're right. So,
it's a floor show. It's like, they show up at her palace. She's like, let's have a floor show to entertain you. And I'm like, aren't we already being entertained by the rest of the ballet?
Isn't that a ripoff of Hamlet anyway?
Yeah, we're just going to stop. We're just going to stop the show and do another show, and then we'll come back to the show. That's probably the only thing that gets me in The Nutcracker, but I do tend to see it. Not every year, but Michelle loves it. It's her favorite one. So we see it probably every few years.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it for a few years, and they have beefed up their costume department, it seemed.
Oh.
Their costumes were amazing. So it was fun.
Did any fights break out of the ballet?
No.
Man.
I mean, surprisingly, though, because I was up in Ogden, so.
Oh, yeah.
Some people have all the fun.
Let's dive in some news.
News it is.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Well, we went a couple of weeks with very few dead people.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lineup and a half today. The world is mourning the death of Pogues frontman, Shane McGowan. Artist behind
at least
the songs.
In my world. Yeah. My world is. That's for sure, yeah.
Fairy Tale of New York, Old Main Drag. Mm-hmm. It turns out that he died of pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
At 65.
It's interesting because he'd just gone into the hospital for encephalitis earlier. And I thought that for sure. I'm like, oh, well, that's probably what got him. They sent him home. He went home too early or something, but no, it was pneumonia. So,
yeah. Yeah. Last week.
The hardest song to hear this week was Haunted. Because that's Shane McGowan with Sinead O'Connor.
Yep.
That one hurt. That was a hard one to hear.
Well, and now they can haunt together.
Yes, they can haunt each other.
They could team up and chase around the Pope.
Ooh, that's fun. I like that. That's my headcanon now.
Yep. But yeah, Fairy Tale in New York is one of the very few Christmas songs I adore.
When I left Dr. Volts on Friday, got in my car, started it up, the radio was playing Fairy Tale of New York.
Aww.
I'm like, oh, the Christmas season has started. Because to me, that's the greatest Christmas song ever, is Fairy Tale of New York.
Dex Carvey, son of comedian Dana Carvey, has passed away at the age of 32. Dana Carvey confirmed the news in a joint statement with his wife. On Instagram, last night we suffered a terrible tragedy. Our beloved son Dex died of an accidental drug overdose. He was 32 years old. Dex packed a lot into those 32 years. He was extremely talented at so many things. Music, art, film, making comedy, and pursued all of them passionately. That sucks and is super sad.
Yeah, it is.
It is sad.
It is
and
sad.
For a kid whose dad came up on Saturday Night Live, you'd think he would have been taught how to handle his...
I was gonna say
no, they were heavy drug users on SNL.
They have been. Francis Sternhagen, who I remember.
I remember
she was all over the place, but she was especially remembered for Cheers and mm-hmm. ER. She's dead at 93. Mm-hmm. She played Dr. Carter's grandmother on ER, Cliff Clavin's mom on Cheers. confirmed Wednesday by her son, John Carlin, on Instagram, saying mom died peacefully in her home a month and a half shy of her 94th birthday. She was beloved by many. I'm very lucky I was able to call her my mom, my friend, my song and dance partner. We were together last week. We spoke Monday afternoon. Said how much we loved one and missed one another. Fly on, Franny. The curtain goes down on a life so richly, passionately, humbly, and generously lived. Yeah, I remember seeing her all over the place.
She was, Doc Hollywood, Misery. The one that always sticks out to me, and I'm trying to find the name of it because I always blank on it.
Days and Nights of Molly Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
Law and Order, The Simpsons, Becker, One Life to Live. Yeah.
Everybody was on One Life to Live at one point or another, weren't they?
The Closer.
So she played a secretary kind of character. That was kind of her general role in her younger days, was kind of the secretary. But she played kind of a secretary / assistant character in the movie Romantic Comedy with Dudley Moore and Mary Steenburgen. I watched that movie like a million times because it was about two writers writing Broadway plays. Yeah. You know, a writing team. And it was just such a great little show. I used to watch it all the time, and a great little movie I used to watch all the time. Yeah, but Frances Sternhagen was in it, and I remember her very well in that movie. So yeah.
Long lost.
By the way, yeah? If you're looking for a good romantic movie, a good romantic comedy movie that kind of goes off the rails, even more so than most romantic comedy movies, watch Romantic Comedy. I mean, it seems such a weird one to recommend, but yeah, watch that one. It's really good. Dudley Moore, Mary Steenburgen.
A long-lost model of an X-Wing fighter used in the original 1977 Star Wars movie is up for auction with a starting price of $400,000. Used in the filming of the final battle of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, as the Rebel Alliance fought the blah, blah, blah. Anyway, somebody found a fucking toy, and it's worth $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've had basements. I've had attics. I'm not, all I
Where's
find
my
is
$500,000 toys.
Fucking spiders and raccoons. Come on.
This is the this was a production model, so it was actually used in the film. But it's gonna be like Musk who buys it, or Bezos who buys it, because who else could fucking afford that? And to them, that's like nothing. Yeah. $400,000. I spent that on a latte this morning. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful though. Oh, look at it.
It is.
It's just, I want it. The Witcher 4 is now CD Projekt Red's focus, with the largest part of the development team working on the role-playing game. For those of you that like Witcher 3, Witcher 4 is finally on its way. I hope we don't have to wait as long as we did for Half-Life 3. Hello? Anybody? All right. That's it for the news.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner.
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
There's nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
So what you guys been watching on the TVs and movies and things this last week? Joss?
I watched a whole bunch of dumb Christmas movies. Like, just really random ones. We watched, I don't even know names of them. I'll be honest. They were cute.
That's fair.
They were dumb in Christmas movies. Ugh. I like them. That's fine. You don't have to like them, and I'm not going to go in detail. But then I also did get to finish Lessons in Chemistry. And oh, what a delightful ending that series had, or that show season had. It was so cute, so well done. I can't wait. My mom actually just picked up the book. So when she is done reading it, I'll get to read the book as well. And so
with the book, I read the jacket for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one book. There isn't a sequel book, so I don't know if we'll get a second season of this, because that had an ending that felt like the ending of a book, you know.
Right.
I don't know. We got a second Good Omens, and there was no second book there.
We got a second Good Omens.
Yeah, that's true. That's because Neil Gaiman's like, fuck it, I'll write anyone. The other thing is according to the jacket, the book takes place in the 60s.
Oh.
Which is very different. Yeah, because they decided to set it in the 50s, which I'm curious about that decision. You know, why? I can understand maybe they felt like the 60s has been done to death.
But it started in the 50s, but it would have transitioned into the 60s. Because her little girl was like 8 or 9 by the end of this.
8 or 9, so yeah. It would have gotten, it was by the early 60s, because they're talking about the first march that Martin Luther King went on. Yeah.
Right. Right. But from what I understand, this series is actually quite different from the book. So that mm-hmm. will be an interesting thing to compare. I'm really excited to do that.
I have the book on my list on Amazon. I just have to, I got to get through these Spencer novels I've been reading and I'll read it.
fair. Yep. What about you, Jeff? What did you watch this week?
Great question. I watched Monarch, episodes 3 and 4. We finally got to see Godzilla and he looks fucking great. And it's got me full of such kaiju, if you'll pardon the phrase used as an adverb, but,
that's a hell of a lesson we got to take there.
Yeah. I'm going to go see, Godzilla -1. Mm-hmm. Which is in Japanese with English subtitles.
Oh, wow.
Everybody nice. I know that has seen it says it is the best Godzilla movie ever. I happen to think that's a medium to high bar. So, you know.
Right.
I'm sorry, Braxton. If you're listening, dude, I apologize. I also finished my rewatch of Discovery because for some reason, some dumb fucking ignorant, innocent reason, I thought that season 5 started in December. And it turns out it's not going to start until, I think, April.
Oh, that far out.
I think so. Jesus. Yeah. So, anyway, so I finished that, started a rewatch of Picard season 1. You know, compared to season 1, you know, not as good.
Not as good.
Nope.
It's a slog.
Because by the time you've watched season 3, most of your nostalgia for everything. So when he finally is on Rios' ship and he's all engage, you know, it didn't give me the giggles like it did the first time I watched it.
Right. Yeah. Honestly, don't start people on, if you're telling people, watch Picard, start him on season 1 so that they can watch it, because otherwise it's not going to be as good. Season 3 was a masterpiece. So yeah.
Yep. And then, finishing up, and kind of passing the baton to betwixt each other, Doctor Who, episode special 2.
Oh yeah.
It was very sad at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But up until that point, it was just this. It was a two actor green screen exercise. It was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
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 I'm excited. I haven't found the time to watch it yet, but we're gonna carve out time.
Yeah. Talk about
to get them watched.
Talk about your bottle episode. Just the two actors, the whole episode.
Yep.
And it was so cool, and it works so well. And boy. Can you see the Disney money? Oh boy, can you see the Disney money?
Yeah, you can.
So going back to, I also watched Doctor Who this week, and going back to the first episode, the first special. One, I have those comic books. They were the Marvel Doctor Who comics that came out in the 80s. I have both of them. It was issue 1 and 2 of Marvel's Doctor Who. And that the Star Beast, as soon as it said by someone in was it Bolton? No, it was the guy who did Watchmen, Dave Gibbons. I was like, wait, I have that comic book. I know I do.
Nice.
And it was so fucking cool. The transgender stuff was spot on, at least to me.
That felt good. That got me in the emotions a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. They were really cool. The conversation between Donna and her mom, you know, about it was so well written. There will come a day when we don't need that anymore, you know? But I think it's still needed, particularly because, even all over Britain, the Joe Rowling stuff is still a thing.
Yep.
You know, it's like, depending upon what side of the border you're on, whether it's Scotland or Britain, you're either you know, pro Joe Rowling or anti Joe Rowling. Scotland's pretty much anti Joe Rowling because of her anti trans comments that she's made. But yeah, this was a beautiful episode. The episode one and episode two, perfect. I didn't think we'd get that cameo at the end of this last episode because I didn't realize they'd filmed all this shit years ago, apparently.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I'm like, how long did it take you to finish these special effects? My hell. I mean, thank you, though, for taking your time and not marveling or Star Wars-ing these special effects to where they're not as good. Because holy shit, was this good.
Yeah, well, I mean, and for a Doctor Who episode, it was some of the best effects I've ever seen. So, yeah. You know, yeah,
absolutely.
Good job. Applause.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some people are like, oh, well, you know, I always like the wobbly sets and the, you know, the dodgy special effects. And I'm like, yeah, that's fun. But as Colin Baker put it, you didn't care when you first saw it. You didn't notice the wobbly set or the dodgy special effects necessarily when you first saw it. And if you did start noticing it, that was when you stopped watching Doctor Who as a kid. Because until then, you were there. You were completely in it for what was happening. You were scared. You were happy. You were laughing. You were having a great time. He said that's why you loved Doctor Who, not because it had wobbly sets. And yeah, he's very Colin Baker was very vehement about that. But yeah, it's still the case. I mean, the early 2000s ones, I'm like, ooh, so much better with the special effects in comparison to the original series, but still not as strong as special effects we were seeing at the time, like on Star Trek and that. But this was holy shit, this was amazing. Like the Meep was flawless, just flawless. Yep. So yeah. See it, watch it, love it, and we'll see you next week for the third, which should introduce, I think that's the one that, I don't know if that'll actually introduce Shuda Gatwa or not, but it should. So,
yeah, it should.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I, because it dropped yesterday as well, I finally got to see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
I believe you're watching that tonight when I'm done editing shows.
That was a great fucking movie.
Yep.
Nice.
I'm like, what is this, an every other movie thing? What are you, Star Trek? Because it was really good. There was something about it that I was glad they did it one way. I was kind of hoping for something else, but then they tried that with the last movie. Yeah. Oh, and the reason why we don't have Shia LaBeouf, I actually snorted when they said it. And it was supposed to be a sad moment, and I snorted because I was like, "Get rid of the guy."
Same thing. I did the same thing.
Yeah. De-aging. The de-aging technology they used. Holy shit! Now we go back to Star Trek: Picard season one. They did the de-aging on Brent Spiner, and he looked weird, right?
Yeah.
Looks weird with the de-aging, but Harrison Ford's de-aging looked perfect.
Well, a lot of it was prosthetics. It was actual practical masks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like anytime you saw him like running on top of a train, that was a prosthetic mask as opposed to.
Well, I figured that was he wasn't doing his own stunts like.
Oh
that.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, that was all instead of the way you do it with long shots and all that. They can do it's fucking Mission Impossible is what it is.
And I could see him doing that for the action sequences. But when he was like speaking and stuff, you know, he was tied up when all that stuff and he's speaking. I'm like, that was some really, really well done de-aging.
Yeah, it was. No, it was brilliant. It looked great. Yeah.
I mean, with Sam Jackson, we're like, well, of course he's like, damn, this de-aging stuff's pretty good. And I'm like, dude, you still look about the same age.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You look the same age you've always looked.
They could have
just,
fixed that,
you know,
with
heavy,
a toupee,
just
Sam.
And... What's that?
They could have fixed it with a toupee. He looks
exactly
the same.
Exactly. Right. So the same, you know, it's with Harrison Ford, it was like, no, that guy's face has fallen. So it was really well done. liked Phoebe Waller-Bridge in it. All the things they did, I loved it. So, and for a guy that old, it was like, wow, you're doing a lot, Indy. Mm-hmm. Though the cameo, honestly, the cameo at the end, I didn't recognize the cameo at the end when they first came in the room. It took me a minute to go, oh. I actually needed a close-up. I honestly thought it was the maid from, you know, that they were in Britain. It was the maid. that was bad of me, but yeah. Still, well done. Well done.
Yep, very well done.
And then the other thing I watched was I've been watching the Great British Baking Show this season. We just had the finale. The winner was absolutely delightful because they were convinced they were, every week, they were convinced they were going home. <That's fun. laughs> Every week they were like, I can't, you know, they're every, you know, when the camera would first talk to them, they're like, I can't believe I'm still here. I can't believe I've made it this far. They just kept doing that every week, you know. In fact, somebody made a joke. They're like, yeah, they've been going home since the first episode. yeah, so great, great little ending to the British Baking Show.
Nice.
All right, let's dive into some TV news.
Disney Plus's Marvel Zombie show, which I know we've talked about before, but my brain is trying desperately to block all memory of, gets a production update. Iman Vellani commented on her time recording as Kamala Khan for the upcoming series, Marvel Zombies. It's basically going to be a spinoff of the Marvel Zombies What If episode, which, to me, is like, good, as long as it's not that pile of garbage Kirkman put out all those years ago.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So, anyway...
Most of the iterations of Marvel Zombies I haven't cared for. I liked the animated one more than I didn't like it as much as the rest of the What Ifs.
Yeah.
But I liked it more than I liked any of the Marvel Zombie comic books.
Yep.
Now I'm like, well, fuck, you just got Iman Vellani involved. Now I'm going to watch it. Well, I was going to watch it anyway, but now I'm going to be excited for that. So damn you, Marvel.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. From what I understand, it's only going to be 4 episodes. And I'm thinking...
it's like a short series of comic books.
That's a good idea, guys.
It really is.
It is.
I like it.
All I could say is, I hope the zombies don't talk to one another, because that's why it was bad when Kirkman did it.
I'm over here thinking, why not... Why do 4 episodes? Why not just do a 2-hour movie? You know?
I'm with you.
Yeah, let's just get it done. You know, just give me a 2-hour movie. And just, let's just get it. You know, it's obviously going to be a Marvel spotlight, you know, so.
Yeah.
Just make it a 2-hour movie and let's just get it done.
Yep. Yeah. So, in the most ridiculous goddamn thing I've heard all day this week, Bob Iger believes that the reason the Marvels didn't make more money was because they didn't have adult supervision. I mean, that's really basically it. Instead of blaming it on the fact that the strike ran right through when was supposed to be all of the, you know, the press tours and everything, you know, right. They went months with no press, no media, no marketing. That's not it for him. No, it's, they didn't have enough executives on the set to tell the producers how to make things.
Right.
Yep.
He's blaming it on oversaturation. You know, doing all the shows and things. All these things he's greenlit as the executive there. And now he's saying, oh, it's no, clearly we don't have enough executive influence. It's like, you keep your fucking nose out of it all, Iger. And no, it's your fault, dude. You're the one who stretched out these negotiations along with all your fellow greedy types just so you could keep getting your, you know, keep buying yachts basically and living the high life, being a billionaire when nobody needs to be a billionaire in this world. And here he is, you know, just throwing money away. You know, saying, oh, no, it's their fault. And I'm like, yeah, if Iman Vellani had been out on the press tour with her enthusiasm,
I believe
that would have had one of the strongest opening weekends ever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Agreed. 100%.
So, anyway, Bob Iger, shove it up your ass.
Exactly.
As usual, Bob Iger, you're wrong.
Yep. Christopher Nolan called Zack Snyder's Watchmen film ahead of its time. Says it should have been released after the Avengers. But not being precognizant, we didn't do that. And I happen to agree with Christopher Nolan, which I hope he feels supported in his opinion, that Watchmen was a film ahead of its time. It's one of the best superhero movies, as far as I'm concerned. You know?
Right.
Chris, Watchmen, as a story, has always been ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Always.
Right.
You know, The Twilight of the Superheroes, which was what it was originally titled, was a genius, genius idea. And it just got better as he had more and more limitations put upon him as to what characters he could use and that sort of stuff. He just made it even better, even an even stronger story. So, no, Alan Moore has always been ahead of his time as a creator. And the whole story has always been ahead of its time. And I agree that, yeah, Watchmen itself was ahead of its time.
Yep.
I don't agree that Watchmen should have been the reason why Zack Snyder was given the entire DCU to work with.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, that's like letting Grant Morrison write the entire DCU. Wait, they already did that too.
Oopsie daisy.
Based upon how strong, you know, his stuff was on Doom Patrol. Oh, let him write all the DC characters. Bad idea.
Yep. Oh, God. What have I done? The Grand Tour is not moving forward for another season at Amazon Prime Video. At least not with Clarkson, May, and Hammond. Those guys have all gone to their various social medias over the last few days and let it be known that now that they've finished filming the last of, I believe, season 5, that's it. They are done with Top Gear.
Well,
or not Top Gear, Grand Tour.
Well, and that's the other side of it. It's like Grand Tour was always thumbing their nose at Top Gear for firing Clarkson. And now that Top Gear's ended, they're like, well, why do we have to keep doing this?
True.
You know, Jeremy's got a farm to run. May is, you know, cooking a lot, apparently, and doing cooking shows.
Yep.
And
Richard Hammond's got a couple of shows as well.
Yeah, he's doing that car restoration thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it blew me away. It was a Top Gear episode where they went to Africa. And you always think of these, you know, like you always think of these guys as just, you know, comedic voices that like driving cars, but to actually see Richard Hammond squatting down in the dirt welding his car back together, you know, and knowing exactly how to fix it, I was like, oh, so you guys aren't just, you're not just reporters. You actually know what the fuck you're doing and talking about.
Well, Hammond and May.
Yeah. Hammond and May. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Cause I'll be honest with you. It's Clarkson deserved to get fired from Top Gear. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I should feel guilty for loving Grand Tour as much as I do. You know, like when it comes down to Clarkson, fucking anti-climate change motherfucker, it's pretty much the fact that I watch anything to do with him at all should make me feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah, probably. Except probably.
He's as big as we are, and he's just fun to watch.
Yep.
And he lets people come on and give him shit about his beliefs in climate, you know, his anti-climate change
climate
stuff.
Denial. It's like, yeah,
watching Clarkson's farm and the one guy just yelling at him is like, well, that's ridiculous. But I'm like, but you kept it in.
Yep.
Meaning that you see that there's a point. He was making a point. And the whole goal of Clarkson's farm is I need to look like an idiot so that people will enjoy this. Yeah.
So, but now, if you're ready for a little global warming, by which I mean hot, Supernatural might be getting a 16th season after all.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Supernatural stars Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles discussed the show with fans in the 2023 Creation Honolulu Convention. When asked what their characters might be up to these days, both actors teased this question could be answered in a revival with Padalecki, I hate his last name, adding that he has some ideas to contribute. Ackles then confirmed that there are active talks about potentially bringing back Supernatural, like in a movie or something, you know, a revival movie. Nobody knows, but he said, stay tuned. Dun, dun, dun. I would watch the fuck out of another season of Supernatural. I'll tell you that right now. That last episode was mwah, chef's kiss. Take a look at that, fair. David Lindelof, you quack. Let's see.
Understood that. I'm going to Captain America for a minute. I understood that reference.
I'm glad it wasn't lost on you.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I hope so. Destin Daniel Cretton, no longer directing Avengers the Kang Dynasty. Reported this news on Wednesday afternoon. The fifth Avengers film is set to debut May 1st, 2026, but currently has no director attached. Cretton is not leaving the MCU, however, far from it. The original report suggests he is continuing work on the Wonder Man series, which he directed the first two episodes. Directed? That means it's almost done. When do we get that?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm.
I want that.
This
oh,
now.
Boy, do I want
now,
that.
Now, please. I'm ready. Anyway, the show will resume production now that WGA and SAG strikes have ended. I forgot.
Oh.
We had a giant fucking pair of strikes there for a bunch of months.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
But, you know, the fact that he's backed out of Avengers, but he's like, no, I'm coming back for Shang-Chi 2.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the Wonder Man series. It's like,
maybe he was tired. Maybe he was just a little tired.
Just a little overworked right now. Yeah. Or there's a big question mark as to whether it will be called the Kang Dynasty.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was going to say, or they're not sure what they're doing with it yet. They haven't figured out Jonathan Majors, so.
They're like, do we wait for a conviction or do we, what do we do about Majors? Yeah.
I just think it's going to turn out to be two badly behaved people with anger management issues. You know?
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Like Depp and Heard, right?
Yeah.
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 People that need some counseling, but probably aren't bad people. They just are working through some
stuff. Well, I
mean,
that's the thing. We have one thing on Majors, you know, and then all the attempts to give him PR, like breaking up the teenage girl fight and stuff. It's a fairly pathetic story overall. But I mean, you compare that to what's their name who played the Flash,
Ezra Miller.
Ezra Miller, who I try to forget, and just it was just escalating story after story after story, week after week after week, and I'm like, DC Warner Brothers, cut this motherfucker out,
right?
Oh my God, do not release that movie, and then they still released that movie, and it was terrible. We knew it was going to be terrible. We thought it would be terrible just because we walked in hating Ezra Miller. No, it was terrible on its own right. So
it was terrible for a myriad of reasons.
Yep.
Except for the good parts. Damn it.
Yep.
Except for the good parts.
Except for the Batman and Supergirl parts.
Yep. Yep. Look, this one's probably more interest to me than anybody else on the show right now, but Prime Video finally dropped a trailer for their Fallout TV show.
Ooh.
This is based on the Fallout games, which is post-nuclear America. This is the first time the franchise is going to spend time in California. Everything else has been kind of east. I have played all of these games. I love them. The most recent was Fallout 76. It took me a while to get to it, which was good because it launched flawed. And then by the time I realized what was happening, I was grinding. I was staying up late and waking up early to grind out mission after mission after mission. It's just, I mean, it's so playable and it's so relatable. And now I get to see live action people, and holy shit, it looks amazing. Fuck Jeff Bezos, motherfucker, but Jesus Christ, when he throws money at a show, he throws money at a show.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, look at that Lord of the Rings thing. That was so well done, so beautiful.
Lord of the Rings, yet, Legend of the Rings, Rings, Power, Power, Rings, 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 I believe is the name of the show.
Yes.
I think so.
Wonder Twin Powers Activate, yes.
Oh, there it is, yeah, you're right.
But, you know, I mean, I'm there for it. I've never played Fallout. I'm aware of the little Bob's Big Boy looking guy. That's kind of the mascot for the whole thing. Fallout I'm aware Boy. Of all that. Yeah, but I'd never played The Last of Us, and I fucking loved that series and can't wait for them to do the next series of it.
Yep.
So, I'm like, I might totally be into this Fallout one and be like, oh, this is fucking awesome. And I'll have a video game player, Angus, in my ear going, this is different in here and this is different here. But
I got to remember to ask him if he's seen the trailer yet and what he thinks of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to do that. But regardless, however, meanwhile, that's it for the news.
We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
Let's have some comic book news!
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Superman's newest enemy is Batman's lost daughter.
Another one?
Yep. Spoiler alert. Dawn of DC's Superman comics profile the rise of a new terrorist group, Blue Earth, led by the charismatic Nora Stone. Blue Earth launched an organized public campaign against alien refugees coming to Earth. At the same time, Blue Earth somehow siphoned Superman's powers and gave them to their own hand-picked team of violent vigilantes. After this, it is pure spoilers, and I'm not going to play with it. So
that's fair.
That just gets you caught up.
Yeah. But in the end, it's an Elseworlds thing that they've, I guess, come over to the main Earth One universe. So
yep.
Earth Prime universe. So, okay. So suffice to say, instead of one kid that we know all very well, it's a variation.
Yeah. Yep. DC has announced a new Red Hood miniseries. This will be, DC's release solicitations for comics for February. I believe they've typed this wrong. 2024. In addition to plenty of Joker fun, whatever, the Batman office is responding with a new 6-issue limited series starring Jason Todd. Red Hood the Hill will debut with a 0-issue on February 6, 2024, spinning out of the events of the Joker War. So that'll be fun. Full launch on February 13th. Six issues planned to come from Sean Martin Burrow and artist Sanford Green. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the art. The cover is just beautiful. So we'll see how this goes. It's been a while since, you know, the last real Red Hood story was in Urban Legends, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, apart from what they did in Batman, Catwoman, Gotham War.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where Batman fucked with Red Hood's head and stuff. And
like he does.
Like he does.
Yep.
Right.
Iman Vellani will be returning to Ms. Marvel for a Mutant Menace series. I'm here for it.
I'm all for it.
Yep. I am absolutely here for it. But anyway, Marvel announced Ms. Marvel, Mutant Menace, a sequel series to Ms. Marvel, The New Mutant. Brings back the creative team of Iman Vellani and Sabir Pizzada. They're joined by, Godlesque? Anyway, Polish name.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yay! Yeah. She'll be coming back as an X-Men.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Godlewski.
But that's it for the news, the comic book news.
Let's talk about what we've been reading this week. We'll start with Joss.
Ooh, start with me. It's really extensive. I didn't read anything, you guys. I suck. No, it's busy. This is a busy time of year. So I got to be better about carving out a few minutes to get some comics read, because I've got plenty of them. How about you, Jeff? Did you get anything read this week?
I really didn't. Not anything new. Flipped through a couple of old things, but, you know, no. I'm spending all of my free time on LinkedIn.
Ah, fair.
So, yep.
Understood.
So, yep, that's my life right now. So, I guess you're going to have to carry us, sir.
I got to carry us. So, we did Berserker Fallen Empire. This was another great one. So much better than the 12-issue series. the Berserker is basically captured by a desert kingdom. And what happens and how this story is told and where this story goes is very cool, very powerful, a little surprising. And in the end, just dark as hell, and I loved it. So,
way to go,
yeah.
Keanu.
Yeah, I liked that one a lot. It's mostly Mattson Tomlin who wrote it, because they basically have said Keanu created the character. Like, you open up the first, you know, you go to the title page that tells you who did what. And in this one, it's not Keanu as co-writer with Matt Kent as it was with the series. This is Keanu Reeves' creator, Mattson Tomlin as the writer, and I was like, I'm all in it for him. That was a really well written piece and very surprising. Big old, it's just page, you know, cover to cover, just a cool Berserker story, well worth the read. So we got issue 4 of Ms. Marvel, The New Mutant, by Iman Vellani. And with the news from this week, we will be talking about that. I will go into depth on that one in Patreon.
Ooh, okay.
And then the other one I read that I want to talk about is Titans Beast World number 1. I'll also go into a little more depth in this in Patreon, but yeah, such a great idea. And everything went wrong, and it's one person's fault, and it's kind of surprising whose fault it was, and feels a little out there, but then I didn't read Multiversity, so...
Was it Flash?
I'm thinking it's a Multiversity thing.
Ah.
But that's going to cause Beast World, or that has caused Beast World. I think it's a Multiversity thing. Only based upon stuff that's coming out this week in comics. So we'll talk about that a little more in with some spoilers, because I know these guys probably aren't going to read Beast World.
not likely,
so,
no.
Yeah, probably not. So we'll get into that. We'll get into that a little bit more in Patreon. In the meantime, today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, Joss, start us out. What are you looking forward to this week?
We'll go Marvel because it was the easiest pick of the week. It was Daredevil number 4, you guys. And I read Daredevil number 3 and reviewed it and didn't spoil who the big reveal was. And Daredevil number 4 spoils it right off the bat. So there you go. But I'm excited because it's Bullseye, you guys. It says don't miss Bullseye.
Don't miss Bullseye. I love Bullseye. So, okay.
I do too. So Bullseye is here and they are going to fight and it'll be great, I'm sure. How about you, Jeff? What's your mainstream pick?
Marvel Voices is doing The Avengers. Mm-hmm. And I've enjoyed all the Marvel Voices stuff so far. So, yeah. I don't know really what it's going to be about. So I'm looking forward to reading it.
Nice.
I guess we'll see.
I like
yeah.
it.
And then DC is putting out the Batman Catwoman omnibus. About damn time, guys. and so if I had a job that paid me money, that would be what I would pick up this week as far as my mainstream goes. So we're on to you, sir.
My mainstream picks for the week from Marvel, we've got The Sentry number 1. The Sentry is dead, but ordinary people all over the world are suddenly manifesting his powers and experiencing snippets of Bob Reynolds' memories. Will one of them survive long enough to emerge as the new Sentry, or will their newfound power destroy them? Now, here's where I got hooked. When Misty Knight and Jessica Jones cross paths in search of answers, they open an investigation that will change everything you think you know about the Sentry. I'm like, right. Okay, you had me at Jessica Jones. That's it. I'm in.
Yeah. Yep.
No so, The Sentry, very unique character created in the early 2000s by Marvel. The idea was he'd been around since, you know, Stan Lee's time, hence the name Bob Reynolds, so that he'd have an alliterative name, because that's how Stan remembered his people's identities was, they called him Robert Reynolds, so he'd remember, you know, Stan would, if I could get one letter, I could get both, you know. I'm like, except that time that you called Bruce Banner Bob Banner in the early days. Okay. so then he had to create the name Robert Bruce Banner so he could justify him saying Bob Banner. Anyway, The Sentry was a wild, crazy book, a wild, crazy character who in the end was a tragic tale of someone who got too much power and it broke his brain. So I'm hoping the new Sentry will not have a broken brain, I guess. And then from DC, 'tis the season, Batman Santa Claus Silent Night, number 1. A 4-part crossover event of a generation begins when a not-so-jolly Saint Nick hits Gotham City to investigate a brutal crime in the days leading up to Christmas. Okay. Pushing in the chips. I'm in.
All right.
I want to know what brutal crime is Santa Claus here to investigate? Was an elf killed? Was a reindeer killed? Is there something even darker? With the help of his former student, Batman, Santa will team up with the heroes of the DC universe to right this wrong.
His former student, huh?
His former student.
That's cute.
So apparently,
if anybody could find Santa, it's Bruce Wayne.
Yes. And then they say at the end, the last words is, it's Klaus in canon. And I guess that means, the you know, in DC Universe canon. So, in other words, this actually happens in the DCU. This is actually going to happen. This is not some Elseworlds thing. This is not just some little Christmas thing. This is actually fucking going to happen. And I'm there for it. I am so there for it. because it looks like it's going to involve, you know, the Trinity for one thing, Superman and Wonder Woman, and then we'll see who else, because it's a 4-parter. Maybe then the Trinity come together to help Santa at the end. I don't know.
Look, the goofy shit pays off with them lately. Fucking Jurassic Squad or whatever, and then King Kong and Godzilla versus the Justice League. I mean, come on. This shit's all good.
And go back a few years, and you had the crossovers with the Looney Tunes characters that sold really well and were really popular.
Yeah.
then we go to my indie pick again, sticking with the spirit of the Santa Claus thing, Hellboy's winter special, The Yule Cat. The thing about the Yule Cat is it's a real legend out of Iceland about a cat that comes and takes bad children from their homes and devours them. And this is actually going to be the Yule Cat, you know, with Hellboy dealing, you know, going to Reykjavik to look into missing children, and he's going to have to confront the Yule Cat, which is a giant black house cat, basically.
Fun.
Written by Matt Smith, not the Doctor, and he's doing it in kind of a Mignola style. He's also drawing it, and he's doing it in kind of a Mignola style, so it's going to look really cool and really familiar. But yeah, that's the Hellboy Winter Special coming out this week. How about you, Jeff? What are your indie picks?
I interrupt this with a what the fuck. Apparently, somewhere in a warehouse, somebody found some unshipped issues of Berserker 12 that's been out for months and months and months. And it's covers we haven't seen before. It's not a second printing, apparently.
No.
It's cover Q, whatever. So that's that's coming. Yay. From Oni, guy who has to stock these shelves. From Oni Press, Invasive number one, intended for mature audiences. Beyond excess, beyond ethics, beyond science. That's a great start. That's got me hooked. Enter a terrifying new epidemic in pain. Or, I'm sorry, Experiment in Pain from Eisner Award nominee Colin Bunn. Okay, you got me. You know, I'm in. Illustrator J.S. Hervéas. I don't know, Jess. Hervéas. However, I'm looking at the interiors on Invasive, and I cannot wait to see, because this looks fucking great. So that'll be out. And then the Army of Darkness movie adaptation is getting its 30th anniversary edition. I believe this one's coming out in hardcover. But it's, you know, Sam Raimi, Ivan Raimi, and John Bolton doing the movie adaptation to Army of Darkness. Yay.
Nice.
I thought everybody would be more excited with me on that one. But that's okay. That's all right.
I haven't watched Army of Darkness in a billion years. It's groovy. Feels like it's been a long time. Groovy.
Anyway, what about you?
I found from Dark Horse Comics, it's a trade paperback, The Matriarchs. I mean, like, the title alone hooked me. Let's be honest, you guys. Like,
groovy.
I am who I am.
Yeah,
It's an immortal race of women with superhero abilities, and they're going to save the planet. They're going to save all the men on the planet, so...
Death by Snoo Snoo?
Maybe. Okay. We'll see. All right. That's it. That's all. That's what I got.
Oh, that's it?
That's all my pick of the week. Yeah. You got it.
Well, there we are. Anything else, kids?
The picks of the future.
Oh yes, we do need to do. We do need to jump in our TARDIS and do our picks of the future. All right, these are books. We're now into February, so these are the February solicitations. I have checked; they're all available to pre-order. Get them now, because you know a lot of comic book shops are ordering and then claiming that the comic book industry is dying despite every evidence to the contrary. And it's only because they're not getting the pre-orders like they used to. So get your pre-orders in now for these February books. Joss, what's your February pick?
Scrolling through, I picked Spider-Punk 104. Some of that is because I have a kid who adores Spider-Man right now. And always has. And so I'm going to read a little short series about Hobie and rebuilding society. And it'll be a Spider-Man story that I'm sure I'll love. Easy peasy mac and cheesy. How about you, Jeff?
I'm going with David M. Buer's Killer Queens 2. Still putting the sass in Assassin.
I like it.
Yeah, I we had Dave Boer out in the store last year, and what a just a nice fucking guy, you know, super talented, handsome as can be, you know. It was great to have him in store. I enjoyed it. So I'll pick something of his anytime. But the Galaxy's sassiest and glad nominated assassins are back. And if you didn't catch it in single issues because you forgot to put it in your hold, even though you manage a fucking comic book shop and could have figured it out by now, dumbass, you can now pick it up in trade. That's what I got. How about you, sir?
All right, this first my first pick for February is Wolverine Madripoor Knights number 1 of 5, 5-issue limited series. Chris Claremont is returning to write it, so he's returning to this. Hey, Joss, remember what I won my no prize for?
Yes.
Remember that I won a no prize. You remember what I won it for?
You wrote it for the letter in the back of Black Widow.
Right, but what was it about? It was about a guy arguing that Black Widow's memories and timeline was wrong because Chris Claremont had put her alive as a child during World War II in the X-Men. And I wrote in and said, you just had a Secret Wars where the entire universe was recreated.
Ta-da!
There's no reason why she should have a limiting backstory that says she was alive in World War II, which doesn't make any sense. And he then wrote in with another argument about that, but I ignored that. So this is returning to Wolverine, Black Widow, and Captain America back together, basically going back to Uncanny X-Men number 268, which is the issue we talked about. And they get a brand new adventure. And I'm hoping that Claremont maybe addresses a little problem that he wrote into that. He probably I would love to be right. That's all I'm saying. I would love to be absolutely right about it. And just rub it in the face of that Australian goof who tried to argue against me on that whole thing in the letters page of Black Widow, which I'm still delighted by. And I have to hold on to those Black Widows forever because there's proof I want a no prize in there.
Good eye, sir. Good eye.
Yeah, because in the age of email, they no longer mail you a no prize.
Boo.
Yeah, so I never got the actual no prize.
They should have done it with an NFT. Like,
exactly. That would be awesome. I don't even know if that editor who's working on Black Widow even works there anymore. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun. One, I love that story. I love Chris Claremont working on Wolverine. And you brought up John Bolton doing the covers for the Army of Darkness special.
Yeah.
They're going to do another Hidden Gem variant cover by John Bolton for this Wolverine Madripoor Knights. And I'm like, did John Bolton come out of retirement and say, I need money, I'm going to draw some covers for everybody?
Probably. Or he's dead and his estate's doing it.
Yeah, I haven't heard from John Bolton in decades. So, yeah, it's fun to see his name come up again. Either that or I haven't heard that he passed away, though. But if he'd passed away, his family's like, hey, we found some old paintings that John did. Can we sell them to you guys?
Yep.
Here's one of Wolverine and Captain America together, or just Wolverine, you know, or something like that. Yeah. That's it.
That is it.
Now, anything else, kids?
Nothing.
All right. I'll invite you. Yes?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm all good.
Okay.
I'm so good.
As always, I'm jealous of how good you are. As always, I invite everybody to come on over to Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia. This is where the cool kids hang out. Come join our Patreon squad. It helps support the show, helps support the channel. We're actually expanding into several new podcasts. We've already got a new one out where Jeff and Tiffany talk about relationship problems.
It is. We had to skip this week because she spent the week in the hospital.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that next week.
I said that could be your topic for next week, is what, you know, spell, yeah. You know, the in sickness and in health kind of thing in the wedding vows.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good show. You should be listening to it. It's on the Left Show channel. At least it still gets its own channel.
Yep.
And in the meantime, we want to get all the, and that's the other thing, is getting more money in means we expand out and we can create these separate channels so everything has its own unique.
We're not buying yachts with our Patreon, folks.
I wish we were, but we aren't. So yeah, please.
What you
please
mean,
support us on Patreon?
My floating studio.
It's pirate podcast.
It is. It's like when the preachers need airplanes so that they can, you know, convert folks better. That's
yes.
All.
Right.
So we're going to come on, join us on Patreon. And if you are you intelligent, beautiful person,
ooh, yeah,
who are already a Patreon member, bring a friend. Invite them to join us as well on Patreon.
We can have a polyamorous relationship.
Exactly.
All right.
That's true.
And so until then, I'll say, as I always do, until Kamala Khan is a dirty mutant, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
Hey, baby, bring a friend. Groovy.